Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. On today's episode, we'll be speaking with George Landreth of Frontiers of Freedom about on-campus recruiting and why it's not discriminatory. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, go on to Apple Podcasts and search What Matters in North Carolina. If you want to follow along with us on social media, do so by following us on Twitter at What Matters NC or liking our Facebook page also at What Matters NC. Catch up with more episodes like this or the other shows on the Freedom Action Network by going to www.freedomactionnetwork.com. Again, that is www.freedomactionnetwork.com. Or, like our Facebook page at What Matters NC, follow us on Twitter at What Matters NC as well, or search What Matters in North Carolina on Apple Podcasts. Now we will move right into George Landreth with Frontiers of Freedom. This is Matt Calder with the Freedom Action Network, and I have George Landreth, the president of Frontiers of Freedom, on the line with us today. So how are you doing, George?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
We appreciate having you. So today we are talking about a recent article you had on Newsmax.com. This was published June 5th, and it is about on-campus recruiting for jobs, for postgraduate jobs. So can you tell us a little about what the heart of this story is?
Sure. Everyone can agree that discrimination is a bad thing, but sometimes we take it to the point of making it silly, and this is that case. There are those that want to shut down on-campus recruiting because they say it discriminates against older people because college students are disproportionately younger people. The problem is it doesn't actually discriminate against older people, because if you're an older person in college and you go to the on-campus recruiting, you could too can get an interview and you too can be hired. So effectively, I guess what they're really trying to argue is that if you take their idea to its logical extreme, you couldn't even put your ad for a job in any publication that had a distribution of readers that was not completely across the board equal. So, maybe Rolling Stone, for example, might have a younger readership. Maybe Reader's Digest has an older readership. If you were to advertise for a position in either of those two publications, that would be bad, because that's their argument, basically.
Right.
So you have a group of people who are, after 8 years of an anemic economy during the Obama administration, high unemployment rates in that group, people who've got lots of debt they've built up thanks to, again, Obama making student loans freely available. So what happened is all your, tuitions went up, and they're unemployed, and they get to live in their parents' basement. And then when they try to get a job at a job fair on campus, they're told that they're engaging in some sort of terrible discrimination. To me, that's about as crazy as it gets.
Right, and sort of my illogical, logical conclusion I came to was, If some people have, younger people tend to use the internet maybe at a higher rate than older people, you can't advertise a job online anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Same exact argument, because if you look statistically speaking, the older people, let's say 60 and up, do not use the internet. They're not as connected as people who are, 30 and under, who are the most connected. And so then all of a sudden all these online job apps and sites are, oh, my gosh, that's all discrimination. It's age discrimination. So, I understand what age discrimination is. Age discrimination is saying we won't hire you because you're too old, or we won't hire you because we wanted somebody older than you, even though you meet our qualifications. That's age discrimination. They want to stretch it to the point where going on campus to interview a couple hundred students, some of whom may be older and some of whom may be younger, is discrimination, simply because, generally speaking, colleges are populated with folks under 30, predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly.
Right.
And so they're effectively going to shut down and make it so nobody can get a job. If they get their way on this, like you said, then the next step is online jobs are not right. And it's crazy stuff, and it's just taking things to its illogical, nutty extreme, to the point of it becoming just beyond the pale stupid and really counterproductive. It's not going to be useful to have the upcoming generation finding it more and more difficult to find jobs, particularly, it's liberalism that made their tuition cost more, and it's liberalism that's going to keep them unemployed. I mean, you know, if nothing else, just how to convince millennials that liberalism's not been good to them.
Right, and so I guess
they might want to try a freedom and opportunity agenda instead.
Right, and I guess maybe a fix for this would be for every on-campus job fair, there could be a job fair at a retirement community. would that even things out?
Yeah, not that a lot of people at the job community. You know, that's the funny thing is employers like this because it allows them to interview a large number of qualified applicants for their entry-level positions where they have certain skill sets or certain degrees that are kind of prerequisites for doing it. And students like it because they don't have a lot of money to go traveling all over the country and interview with all these companies. But since they come on campus, it's as easy as pie because they just go to school, you know, wear a little better clothes that day, do their interview, and, you know, they make a lot of contacts. So it's a win-win, and quite frankly, this sort of leftist nuttiness wants to turn it into a lose-lose. Employers will have a harder time, have to spend more resources, money to find applicants because they'll be told, you know, you can't do it online, you can't do it, you know, they'll have to buy smoke signals or something like that. I don't know, but so maybe smoke signals don't discriminate.
It just seems...
You know, we can all see the sky or something. I don't know. Then it would discriminate against people in New York because the buildings would block their view. But, you know, this is what we're getting down to, is this level of kind of just nuttiness. We're no longer worried about whether people are actually discriminating. We're just playing these stupid math games that they get in the way of people finding jobs, that get in the way of employers finding people to do work, both need that. If you want to see the economy grow, you want employers to be able to find the employees they need, and you want people who need jobs to find them. That's not really rocket science, you know. That's when the economy is bad, it's usually because unemployment is high. And so I don't know why they have this desire to make it harder for people to find employment, but that seems to be the name of the game. And interestingly enough, the older crowd doesn't have a big problem with unemployment. Many of them aren't employed because they're retired and they don't want to be employed, and the ones that want to be employed tend to be because they landed their dream job a while ago and they're still doing it. It's the younger crowd that needs to find that dream job. And so I have rarely seen something that is as nutty as this. I remember asking an attorney who was dealing with this matter. I said, so when you've dealt with the other side and they're making their argument for this, what do they say? And he said, they say that school, you know, and I was like, really? That's the best they can come up with. And he was, it's nutty, but they're finding traction with certain people in the bureaucracies of government. You think, hey, this sounds a good idea. This will keep us busy. We'll have a lot more to do now. We can start banning people from on-campus recruiting. And again, it seems like they're in search of a problem because I don't see one here, but they're going to find one even if there isn't one.
Right. It seems hard to kind of point out which party is harmed. I mean, you're saying it's, or not you, but the people who are pushing this are saying that it's the older people. But there's no rule that says that older people can't go to school. People do go to school and return to school often after this, the usual age, I guess, of the 18 to 22 to 24 kind of range. Plenty of people are in school. I remember from my classes a few years ago, there were people outside of that age range in those classes.
Absolutely. And just to make this clear, if an older person shows up to go to an interview and the interviewer says, oh, we're not interested in you, you're way too old for this job, we don't want you, that is age discrimination. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just whether or not you can have on-campus interviews at all. And conducting them completely fairly and completely dispassionately and completely, you know, equally. They want to say they're unequal nonetheless. And so, to me, I scratch my head and ask myself, what are you trying to fix here? It seems to me they're trying to fix employment, make sure that nobody has a job so there's more people are dependent upon them.
It seems like an idle time in search of a problem for me. I mean, it's kind of related in my mind as well to don't go where all the fish are if you want to go fishing because all the fish are there, or most of the fish, every fish is there.
If you're an employer, you've got this large group of people who don't have a job because they're students. They're about ready to being done being students because they're graduating and they're looking for work. This is like a match made in heaven. You know, if you're an employer who has a lot of jobs, you want to be there to, like you said, fish where all the fish are.
Right. They've got jobs and to hand out. Graduates need jobs. Who's hurt? Who's hurt? I mean, it is a mutually beneficial relationship. Everyone gets to use their time efficiently. The student gets to use their time efficiently because they are just walking from between my 2 o'clock class and my 4 o'clock class. Let me go interview for a job that could benefit me after school. And the recruiters with the jobs are sitting there saying, here's my whole list of very good qualified applicants. It just right. seems like it's beneficial for everyone involved.
Well, one of the weird things about it too is when if this idea gets full traction, the next thing they're going to start arguing is that when you have requirements of a certain number of years experience for a job, that's age discrimination too, because experience on some level equates to age. And so if they want you to have 7 years experience in the field, that probably means they don't want you to have graduated last year. They want you to have graduated 7 years ago at least and to have been employed in the interim. So then you could argue, okay, so now they're discriminating on the basis of age, even though the job may require that level of experience. And so this is the danger of government essentially trying to micromanage everything we do, is it just gets nutty. And like I said, I think most people can agree, discrimination, not cool, not good. Our law prohibits that anyhow. But this is a point where this isn't really discrimination. This is just simply, like you said, you're going fishing where the fish are. Or in the example I gave, you may have a job that requires a certain amount of experience in order for you to do the job well and be successful. And there'll be some enterprising trial attorney who's going to argue that requiring experience prohibits certain people from getting a job. Well, yeah, so does having an education. Like if you say, any requirement you put in for the position could theoretically knock certain people out of being considered for the job. And if that becomes discrimination, then basically they're arguing that wanting to have a well-trained employee that meets your criteria for what you're doing, like let's say you're, a doctor in a doctor's office, and you want to have somebody who can read x-rays. And my position is I can look in the x-ray just like he can. My eyes are good, too. And you want experience, and you want training. I mean, my eyes are as good as his. And they're like, but there's more than that, Mr. Landreth. And I'm like, oh, sounds like discrimination to me. That's just what we're getting way out far afield from the idea that people should treat each other fairly. We're now to the point where, like you said, we're going to ban people from doing internet advertising because some group of people use the internet more than others.
Right. And at minimum, it seems like it'll just completely bog down the application process if you can't put any of these different tiers, these different, gates saying, okay, I'm not a doctor, I'm a journalist and sometimes radio host. So I think I'm gonna apply for that job over at Wake Med, at the local hospital here. And my application's not gonna go anywhere, but do they have to give it some sort of consideration because of these changes in definition of what discrimination is?
That's what worries me, is that that's the way we're headed. Right now, they're just dealing with the age issue. But if they're successful on the age issue, they can turn lots of things into age. Years experience could be, you could say, well, I would have years of experience as a medical technician. I just haven't done it yet. And so in 7 years from now, I'll have that experience, but you're discriminating against me because I'm not 7 years older. And it's just, someone could say, oh, they would never do that. And I would say, well, excuse me. 10 years ago, if I had told you someone was going to say on-campus recruiting is age discrimination, you would have told me that will never happen. And that argument is now being made, and it's getting traction at the EEOC. So I think we have to recognize that the truly insane can, in fact, come about and become real, and it's not useful to tell ourselves, oh, don't worry, that will never happen. The answer is it will eventually, because that's what liberals do.
That's definitely a good point there, that never say never, and especially it's being proven time and time again now. So tell us a little about what you do at Frontiers of Freedom.
Sure. Frontiers of Freedom is a think tank. It was founded by Malcolm Wallop. He was a U.S. senator from Wyoming, a friend and ally of Ronald Reagan's. And so when he retired from the Senate after three terms or 18 years, he, you know, he said, I'm tired of, in the Senate, but I'm not tired of trying to make America a better place and make sure we have more individual liberty and freedom. And so he started a think tank, and that was Frontiers of Freedom, and he asked me to head it up, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on What Matters in North Carolina, and we look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
I would enjoy it very much.
Thank you to George Landreth for speaking with us about what his organization is doing a little bit, and also talking with us about on-campus recruiting and why it is not discriminatory. Thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in. And if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you do so by searching What Matters in North Carolina in Apple Podcasts, or go and follow us on social media on Twitter and Facebook at What Matters NC. Again, that is at What Matters NC, or check out more episodes like this or the other shows on the Freedom Action Network at www.freedomactionnetwork.com. Again, that is www.freedomactionnetwork.com.